Let the cat out of the bag. Well, this week we decided to open up our doors to agents that are in real estate school, that are licensed, to come join our team meeting and get a feel for our culture, see what we're about, get them re-motivated, re-energized, and the turnout was 10 times better than what I could have imagined.
Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry that has given so much to me and my family. Guys, today, usually I say we have a very special episode with a special guest. I can't say that today. We couldn't find a good guest, so we got stuck with Lauren Pimentel. She's back again. Welcome to the show.
Yes, let's go.
Just kidding. Lauren, we all love you. Glad you could make it back to the show. Lauren's a regular. She's actually the director of sales for our real estate organization. And so her and I are just going to chit-chat today and share some stuff that's happened recently in our organization. And at least we hope they find value, maybe a laugh or two. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They won't find value, they'll at least find a laugh. So
that's a pretty big promise. We'll see.
Yeah, let's kick it off. I'm excited to go over some awesome things that have been happening in our organization lately.
Yeah, so go ahead. Let the cat out of the bag. What's been happening?
Let the cat out of the bag. Well, this week we decided to open up our doors to agents that are in real estate school, that are licensed, to come join our team meeting and get a feel for our culture, see what we're about, get them re-motivated, re-energized. And the turnout was 10 times better than what I could have imagined. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was. So to give perspective is that, as you guys know, if you follow along, that recruiting is important for your real estate business, right? And so it's recruiting is important for so many different reasons, for the team, for growth, for everyone in the organization, for the new people you're bringing in, for the community. Like, I could go on and on and on about why recruiting is important. And so with that being kind of something that we do, one of the things I love about this podcast and about me being a coach for some of the top team leaders in the nation is that I'm doing this every day, right? Like, I'm in the trenches. I'm in the office working every single day. Lauren is, I don't know if she works, but she says she does. So she at least shows up. No, just kidding. Lauren works really, really hard. And our organization is extremely committed and dedicated to what we do. And so we just wanted to kind of share some things that we are doing that is working right now. And so what we did was we decided, hey, recruiting's been a topic for a long time. And we talk about culture a lot. And we talk about one of the principles I coach and teach is that the principle of recruiting is to give an experience of what it will be like when they join before they join. Give an experience of what it'll be like when they join before they join. And so what better way, if we're going to say we're culture over sales, bring them into our team meeting before they join our organization and let them experience who we are. So that's what we did. We opened up the doors. We invited a few people that we had had job offers out to that were planning on joining us or considering joining us. And we had, I believe, 11 people show up. Is that right, Lauren?
Yeah, I think 11.
11 people show up. And it was a pretty cool experience. It was pretty surreal for me. Lauren, I know, had some great takeaways from it. I reached out to every single person that showed up. They all were blown away by the meeting. And kind of an unexpected benefit of that for me was the way that our team showed up for that.
Oh,
unprompted. Wow. Like, it wasn't like we planted a seed and said, hey, this agent, hey, can you say this to make us look good? It was 100% unprompted. It was just genuine and authentic. Them sharing from the heart how the team has impacted their business, their life, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. A couple of the agents came up to me afterwards. They're like, oh my gosh, this meeting was phenomenal. So many great takeaways. We love the culture. We love the bombs that Matt dropped. And they're like, he was so awesome to listen to. And I'm like, oh good, thank goodness his acting classes have paid off. I'm glad you guys found it. And because I always show, a lot of people think that, you know, I think a stereotype in our world right now is that places will have a fake good culture. And what I loved about our team meeting was how authentic, how excited, how happy people were. We didn't have to ask anyone, hey, can you pretend just for this one day? Kind of like what you do with your kids, like, please just fake this nice family photo. We didn't have to do that with our team members. We had literally our dream culture showed up, and they were present, positive, prepared at the team meeting. Afterward, they kicked it. Did an amazing prospecting session. And that is what our culture is all about. We celebrated wins. We went over our core values. And the best way to put it was how authentic and genuine the environment was. And who wouldn't want to be a part of that?
Yeah, I love it. One of the things that I shared in a post recently was that, Lauren, you and I talk a lot in our organization and our environment, our leadership conversations about the importance of borrowed belief. And I think it's super impactful. It's very, very powerful. And it's something that we've talked about a lot because it's just really, there's so much power behind it, especially in today's society and what agents are going through, the market changes, et cetera. But I heard someone recently say, and I think it was my good friend Dustin Runyon said that a belief is a poor substitute for an experience. And a light bulb clicked. And I'm like, wait a minute. So we're just giving people belief. What if we could give them an the actual experience of it themselves, of being a part of it? Instead of just hearing about it, instead of someone else sharing the news, instead of it being hearsay. What if you actually are a part of it and you can feel it, you can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it? And I think that's what we put on display. And it was, I mean, and this isn't like, I feel like we're just on here bragging about how cool we are. But it was really that impactful. And it wasn't just Lauren and I's takeaway. It was everyone was there. The new people, the people who have been with us since day one, the people that joined us last year, the people who joined us last month, like everyone had this feeling in our organization because it's whenever you can give that experience of a great culture, like that's very rare to actually have. It's easy to say, it's a buzzword people talk about. It's hard to explain, but it's really easy to feel when you're in the right room. And I think we did a phenomenal job of facilitating that in that meeting.
Great way to put that. And something I wrote down real quick before I forgot was what I loved was I feel that we created that sense of FOMO where if they don't get licensed, they're going to have such a fear of missing out, of not being a part of our team, just because of that glimpse that we gave them. Another common thing that we hear is facts tell, story sell. We had facts about the success of the team, but we also had so many stories of individuals who were once where the people who are getting licensed are at now. And I know for a fact, sometimes it's so hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel whenever you're in the trenches and you're working on your classes. And some of those people have been there for 3, 4, 5 months. And it's like, man, am I ever going to get to this place where I'm selling real estate and I'm dominating? And I think that those stories helped confirm and concrete the direction that they're heading.
Yeah, 100%. It gave people hope, inspiration, and it was what who's Ed Milet says, you're the most qualified in life to help the person that you used to be. Like this is that on display, right? We were able to tie stories, and we didn't even do it. They did it for themselves, right? They shared, like, hey, I know some of you are here that are thinking about real estate. You're thinking about making a transition to our team, or maybe you're getting your license right now. I was there too. This is what I thought. This is what I experienced. But because I'm here. Because I came to this organization, to this team, and worked hard and did all the things that I did, I'm able to have this success and this success and this success. And for them to actually see it and see it come to life. And I think that it was really cool to see the reaction of, I asked everyone in the room, the new people, I said, how many homes do you think the average agent sells per year? And it was a trap, right? And so the real number last year was a 3 to 4, depending on which study you read. And then we pulled up our pendings of what our agents have, and they saw the numbers and they were blown away, right? We have multiple agents with 10 plus, we have several with 8 plus, several with 6 plus that are pendings right now, active under contract. Like that's, and it was just like, wait a minute, this environment's different. It's not just number one, these are actual genuine people that care about each other. You can tell that, you can feel that when you're in the room, but they don't just talk about production either. They are production. Like they do, this is a successful environment that also cares for each other.
Yeah, to me, it's like I couldn't think of a a better way to portray all aspects of how to help them visualize what their life is going to look like
Yeah.
once they get done with the licensing process and with boot camp. And to see so many others have and achieve high success on our team was really exciting and rewarding. And I know some of the people in there, they're already licensed. They've been at other brokerages. So for them to have the thought of, hey, not all teams, not all brokerages are the same. There is something better out there, speaks for itself. And I think really helps again, just with their transition from one brokerage to another.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because something you said earlier that I understood, but our listeners may not, is a lot of our recruiting and our business, which is why we've developed recruiting funnels that we actually build for other teams to help with recruiting lead generation, is that we create real estate agents just because of our marketplace and we have success with new real estate agents. So we don't have to get rid of their bad habits. And if you're listening right now and you're in real estate, yes, you have bad habits. It's okay. We all do. I do too. And so, but that it's what we've just found a massive success with that. And so, anyway, that's when Lauren said, hey, they're getting licensed. That's where a lot of them were. But some of them also were, hey, I'm already licensed and either I'm looking for something different or I'm just kind of curious about what you guys have to offer. And for them to actually experience that and see it is, it was just, I don't know how to explain it other than here's the best way I can explain it. Someone came up to me afterwards, one of the new people. And said, hey, I just wanted you to know, I can't believe I'm saying this publicly. I wanted you to know that I met with Lauren before this and she's phenomenal. And so I just wanted you to know that she's great. And second, thank you for the invite here. I remember Lauren told me that I should probably interview with other agents just to, or other companies just to make sure that I'm making the right decision. And he said, and I thought about it and I went home and I thought about it. I'm like, who do I want to interview with? And he said, after today, seeing this, he's like, I appreciate her sharing that, but this is where I'm meant to be. I know this is where I need to be. And so there's a couple lessons in there I wanted to share, but I just wanted to share that story of like, that's the, if you're thinking about, if you're listening to this, like, I want you to think, how can you apply this to your business? Even if you just have one person show up, like that, they can make a big impact. And so I think that there's a lot there to unpack inside of that. But I want to talk about the leader that Lauren has developed into that I think people can learn from, is that the interview with an agent, if you're recruiting people, is extremely important. Extremely important. Lauren and I actually did a podcast a couple weeks ago on how we do our interviews. So go back and check that out to get some more details on it. But here's the important part of the interview that I want to unpack in this story is that person that came up to me. Their experience they had with Lauren in the interview stood out to them. It was different. It stood out. And so, what are you doing to leave an impact in people's lives? Secondarily, Lauren doesn't have a scarcity mindset. Lauren is not a listing agent that is scared to death to ask the seller if they're interviewing other agents. Instead, she says, hey, you should interview other agents. You need to make the right decision for yourself and your property and your future. And so you should, because I want you to make the best choice for you. And this is a perfect example of what happens the majority of the time if you truly, genuinely approach it that way with value. That's their sign they don't need to interview other people. That's their sign they don't need to interview other companies in this case, because we're not playing small and scarcity. And for someone that wants to debunk that, because I've had these conversations with some team leaders before, and they're like, I don't want to plant that seed in their head. And what if they do interview and someone else offers higher splits? I said, then you were going to lose the agent anyway. Right? If they came for splits, they're going to leave for splits. Before they join me and join my organization, I want to make sure that they know what they signed up for and that I can under promise and over deliver and I can exceed their expectations. Because if I come in and I make it sound better than it is, guess what's going to happen when they join? Which is where a lot of team leaders make the mistake. I had 10 coaching calls today with coaching clients, and the common theme was recruiting and interviews and what to do. And that was a common mistake that I caught by asking questions about what these team leaders are doing. And they shared that they're like, yeah, you're guilty. I try to make it sound so good that they want to join. And so that's the problem. You almost got to talk them out of joining. Because they need to want it, right, before they join. So anyway, for whatever that's worth, that was something that stood out to me that came as a private conversation, and I thought there were lessons there for everyone.
Yeah, and as far as going back, when I'm doing the interviews, I always go back to my personal experience and the mistakes that I made as a new agent. And I wish I would have interviewed other companies because not all teams are created equal. And I all in every single interview, I tell people, hey, if you are looking for a higher commission split, you can 1000% go find another team that offers a higher commission split than us. But what I know for a fact is that our agents have a higher income year after year than any other team in the area. And when you are interviewing those companies, ask them, hey, what does the your average agent make on the team? Because commission does not always equal value. And there's one thing that I, without a doubt, know for a fact is that our team is here to provide every single agent value. That's something I learned from you and I share with people is I know that I can lay my head down at night and know that we are without a doubt hands down, the best real estate team for any agent to come join. And the grass is green where you water it. And interviewing other places and being a part of team meetings shows you that, hey, when you're watering the grass where you're standing, you're going to get exactly what you put into it. Our agents that we spoke up and that spoke up, some of the, I know Ryan was there, Yuba was there, Tyler was there, Luis spoke up. All of those people. Are their grass is really green because they're watering it. They're doing it consistently. They're showing up. They're following our proven processes. They're surrounded by the right team, the right improvement. Another thing that I go over interviews is a lot of people say if you're a real estate agent, you can't make team on a money or you can't make money on a team. And I tell them that can't be further from the truth. You can't make money if you're a part of the wrong team in real
Yeah.
estate.
And I would also say that go look at what the average real estate agent not on a team makes per year. Go look, right? It's they're out of the business. They make nothing, right? Because there is no opportunity. And so yeah, so there's a lot there. I want to go back to the meeting, Lauren, and I want what were some of your takeaways, or what did you hear from others? What are some other things that maybe we can share that can inspire others to do something similar in their organization?
Two of the things that I really loved was hitting on our core values. And again, a lot of companies have core values, but they don't live them, they don't breathe them, they don't speak them, they don't go over how people are showing up, living out their core values every single day. So I love that we made that such a big part of our meeting. And the second thing was the recognition that agents got. And I think that the newbies. I'd be willing to bet that the majority of them could reflect on their past jobs and realize that, hey, they're not being recognized where they are. And the fact that we celebrate our wins, no matter how small, no matter how big, we recognize our people who are on our team. And I think that that's a feeling that we give people that is very uncommon in the industry.
I love it. And I think too, a lot of team leaders struggle to recognize their agents because they're going to think, well, if I tell everyone how amazing my agent is, other people are going to recruit them. And
Yeah.
it's just like, it's the backwards way to think, right?
And not only that, but a lot of team leaders are competing with their agents too. And I
Ooh.
think that's another thing that separates us is that no one's in competition with Matt. With our team, you're in competition with yourself.
Unless we're on a water slide at the water park on our family fun day. Then it's on.
Yes. And in that case, I'm whooping you.
You
Anywho,
beat me
next
one
back
time.
to
How many times did I win?
it had to have been at least two or three times I beat you. I'll ask Jonathan for the footage. Anywho, back to the team meeting. We don't, our agents don't compete with the team lead. And so I think it's amazing that they're in competition with themselves and how they choose to show up every single day. And they also get to see the friendly competition that we have within our environment, not the cutthroat, not the toxic competition that you commonly see around sales organizations. It is a very healthy competition that helps people just level up in life and who doesn't want to win, who doesn't want to be better.
I love it. And it reminds me of like something that I've learned in the rooms that I'm privileged to be a part of at these events and things that I speak at. And just I've learned a lot by just putting myself in those rooms. And one of the common themes that I've gathered that I feel like we have brought back and applied in our organization is collaboration over competition. Like we're going to compete, like we're competitors because we want to win because we're winners, right? But we're going to collaborate first. And I think that so many people think that for me to win, that means you have to lose. And that's just not how we think, right? Like, why don't we just all win together? I want Lauren to do phenomenal. I just want to do a little bit better.
And I just want to do it better than him.
Yeah. And that's why we continue to level up, right? Is we continue to
Constant
push each other.
cycle.
Yeah. Unless it's a water slide, then Matt dominates. But that's another story. Yeah. We'll have to look at the footage. By the way, I did see that someone posted a video, that one video of us on the water slide, and it was the one that you won on. I'm like, really? Of all the ones, that's the one we're gonna post? Are you serious?
Yes, I'm gonna text AJ, tell him thank you. I had to pay him for that one.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Lauren, there's a lot more that we could unpack. I really, so I'm trying to think of if I was our listener right now, what would I want to learn from this experience? And I think one of the things that may be beneficial is, what did we do? What was the process that we implemented to get people in the room? How did we get them curious? How did we get them interested? How did we invite them? What did that process look like?
Well, one, I think that we have a structured team meeting that is worth inviting people to. So, one, make sure your meeting is actually something that is one of value and that doesn't need to just be an email. So, that's something that just starting off with that, and two, getting people there, one, a personal call. Hey, we would really, really like if you could come to our team meeting next week so that you, again, we're making it. Hey, what's in it for you to attend this? So you can get an idea of the culture, so you can get an idea of what it's going to be like when you join our team, because we know it's going to be happening soon.
I want to highlight that. That's so good. That's such a great point. And that goes on the principle that we talk about a lot in an organization is the WIFM, right? What's in it for me? So many people in that we do it unintentionally. Some people do it out of ego, but you guys are not fans of me anyway. So I know it's not you guys that are listening. But so you do it unintentionally, but how many times have you went and you had a conversation on something like this, and all you do is talk about you, yourself, and you, like, it's just me, myself, and I. It's all I talk about, how good I am, and come see what we do, and come see how we do this, and come see how we can help you do this. Instead of, if you come here, I really think the experience that you will have an impact on your life and your future forever. And I just wanted to invite you to that. It's not about us, it's about them and how it'll impact them. And as soon as you make that change in your language, in your dialogue, you will start connecting with them at a much higher level, because that is ultimately what all those features and benefits that you have that you should be proud of, what they ultimately exist to do is what's in it for them anyway. So get used to figuring out what that is that solves or that provides or opportunities it creates, and talk in that language when you're talking with recruits. And when you're inviting them to things, and when you're talking with your current roster of agents, like, that's what really matters. It's not features and benefits, it's the results that the features, benefits, environment can provide for their life.
And where you could go wrong with that is I could have easily said, hey, remember how in the interview I said that one thing that makes our team unique is that we are a culture first team? Why don't you come to this meeting to see if you're a good fit? Why
Yeah.
don't you see if you're a good fit for us? Wrong way to do it. Again, sales, whether it's helping buyers and sellers or whether it's bringing recruits into your organization, you have a problem to solve. And I think, again, that team meeting was so beneficial and even eye-opening for me. Because I think that it was easier for them to visualize how their problem in their current life could be solved. Whether it was financial, whether it was being unhappy in the job that they are at, whether it was not being surrounded by a family organization and a team that wins, all of their problems were solved the moment that they got into that environment. But it wouldn't have happened unless they attended that and we made it, hey, here's why it's beneficial to you to come join us.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. What other advice would you have to someone that's listening and it's like, man, this sounds really cool. How do I do it? Where would you tell them to start?
So if you don't have a structure for a team meeting, I know Matt, you're always willing to provide value. I think having Jenna create kind of like a one-sheeter of our team meetings of, hey, here's what we celebrate, here's what we focus on. But a key part of that is facilitating the room to have the conversation, not just one person talking the entire time. And again, another huge takeaway is that myself, Jenna, you did not do all of the talking.
If you combine us three, the leaders in that room that lead the organization, if you combine how much we talked in that meeting, it's less than 10% of the entire thing. Maybe 20. But you get my, like, 80% plus of the meeting was other people sharing. And again, it was because we facilitated, and it wasn't a meeting where you just sit down, shut up, and listen, and we'll tell you what to do. This is our meeting. This is our culture. Let's talk about our wins. What's on your mind? What's working well for you? What does this core value mean to you? And I mean, that is really, really important, because I think a lot of people struggle with it. Like, hey, what is it I'm going to say? Like, I can relate leadership to the same thing as like salespeople. Salespeople ask the wrong question. What's the best script? What should I say? What should I say? That's the wrong question. The right question is, what are the questions I should be asking? And great leaders facilitate the environment to ask great questions to allow for the brilliance of the room to showcase itself. And I think we did that really, really well in this meeting.
Yeah, it's just a huge takeaway is again, so many times leaders or certain organizations struggle to remove their ego. They want to be the center of attention, but let your room just facilitate that conversation and let the room for it speak for itself. It is easier for a recruit coming into your organization to relate to another agent versus them to relate to Matt. Although, yes, they admire you, Matt. It's difficult for someone to feel like they can jump from A to Z. It's easier for them to relate and be like, okay, yeah, Ryan did it. Awesome. Yuba, who just quit her full-time job, is already at 11 pending, and that just happened this year. Awesome. I can relate to that. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
100%. Sometimes you stretch too far, right? And you got to be closer to, like I said earlier, right? You're the most qualified to help the person you used to be, right? And so even though I used to be there, it was a long time ago, and I've continued to move down other paths. And so who is someone that just walked this path that they're trying to walk? Let them hear from them, because that'll be more impactful. Really,
And
really
at the
good
same
stuff.
time, too, like with the interviews and with the team meeting, it allows and creates that environment for people to dream big. We never tell someone that their dream is too little. We never say like, oh, that's where you want to be Matt one day. You can't think like that. We don't allow that. If you want to dream, like you said, if you want to land on the moon, do it. Think it. We're not here to say that. We're not here to limit your beliefs.
100%. And that's one of the things I shared in that room. I won't go too much into it, but is that one of the reasons this team exists is because there were people that I felt were trying to slow me down from growing, and I just didn't like it. And so I learned from that, and I'm grateful for that, because it allowed, number one, it motivated me to continue growing. But number two is that it showed me how, like, I experienced that myself. And so I don't want others to have that experience in our organization. And one of the things I shared with everyone at this meeting was that my responsibility is to grow this organization so big that all of your dreams that are like bigger than you think you could ever accomplish in your head, you can see yourself accomplishing it inside of this organization. Like, that's just who we are, right? And I also followed it up with that also means we're not for everyone. So for the people that want to be mediocre or want to be average or want to play victim or want to coast through life, we're not for you. And that's fine. It doesn't make us right and you wrong. It just, we're not the right environment. That's one of the most special things about our environment, is we're not for everyone.
Love it. That's one of my jokes that I tell in interviews is we don't just hire anyone with the pulse and they laugh and I laugh and I tell them like I don't say it to be rude, but I know how impactful it can be whenever you bring in a bad apple. And I also know how impactful it can be whenever you bring on someone who has healthy competition and is striving for excellence. And there's a reason why we are so focused on culture over sales because we've seen both sides of it.
Lauren, give them, I hope you can actually deliver it properly this time.
Oh gosh.
Give them the stats of sitting next to a high performer and a low performer.
Well, lucky for you, I just shared this in our agent interviews last night. So I've done it a couple times, but the stats of the importance of sitting next to a high performer versus a low performer will absolutely blow your mind. Every time I hear this, I'm like, it's insane to think about. But when you sit within 25 feet of a low performer, your business decreases by 30%. Versus whenever you sit within 25 feet of a high performer, your business increases by 15%.
It's the
So it is
opposite. Messed it up.
Did I?
Yeah.
You sure? Anywho, a good financial way to put it is it can make be the difference of you making $85,000 or $115,000. Did I say it correctly that way?
No, both of those are wrong.
Oh,
So
you're right.
close.
I did say it's yeah, 30 and 15 the other way.
Yeah, so there are several studies out there that say that if you sit within 25 feet of a low performer, your performance will decrease by 15%, just as a result of your environment. That same study also says if you sit within 25 feet of a high performer, your productivity, your results increase by 30%. You want a 30% raise in your business? Go hang around high performers instantly. Nothing else has to change. You are who you hang around. We've heard it our entire life. You become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's one of the things I really drove home in that meeting, is that part of our culture that, and I think I hate to say the word culture because I feel like when we started talking about culture way back when we started the team, I never heard the word before. I kind of thought I made it up, right? And now it's overused, it's misunderstood, and it's this buzzword that everyone throws around because they want to have a great culture. Well, culture isn't something you say, it's something you experience. And so one of the things that I made very, very clear in that meeting is that one of the things I love about our culture is we are a culture of winners. We are a culture of productivity. And what I believe and I learned from Ed Mylett is that winning is more fun than fun is fun. And so if you don't like to win, we're not for you. We like to win. Now it
Loved.
doesn't mean it, yeah, we love to win. It doesn't mean that you always have to be on and you always have to be like crazy psycho and always these crazy closes and this weird sales. That's not what any of that means. That just means that in our organization, we are a personal development company first. We want to help you become the best version of you. And we just happen to do that through selling real estate. And whenever you wake up and focus on that each and every day, amazing things continue to happen in your organization.
It's contagious. It's, and I will say, everyone who is winning at high levels, it's crazy by who, what new agents choose to show up and sit near them, and they catch almost like they catch the disease.
Yep.
Like you see them start to performing better, and it just goes to show the stats. We get to see them in real life.
100%. All right, Lauren, leave us some with some good Laurenese wisdom as we close out.
I would say that if you are scared to change your life, if there is something that you are not happy with, just know there is something better out there. But if you are not happy, you have to own it, and you are the only one that can change it.
You cannot change what you do not own. Accepting responsibility is a personal superpower.
Yep. So if you're thinking of making the change, this is your sign to go change.
Awesome. And a reminder, if you're a leader, recruiting solves all problems.
All of them.
If you need help with recruiting, if you want a copy of our blueprint of our recruiting lead funnels, if you want maybe us to build them for you, reach out to me. I'd love to share. I want you to win too. So that's why we do this. So thank you guys so much for listening. Lauren, thank you for being here.
Welcome. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for
Awesome.
pulling me
Thank
off
you.
the bench.
Yep. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Bye, guys.